Hi, hello, my beautiful friend. I'm watching a YouTube video of this song, which is called Sad Sweet Dreamer. And it's so sweet. I know it's sweet in the title. It's just, first of all, the video is such low quality because I guess this was recorded in 1975? Anyway, the reason that I have this song on my mind is because, wait, here, maybe I should pause this. This is really an oldie. As you guys know, if you read my note last week, I was visiting my wonderful mother, who I just love dearly. Hi, Mom. And while I was there, I was sorting and sifting through a bunch of stuff. That's a whole nother story. But one of the things that I found was a whole bin full of both albums and 45s from the late 60s and the early 70s to like the early 80s. And this 45 was in there, Sad Sweet Dreamer. And I couldn't remember what the song was. And so I started going on YouTube and just playing some of the 45s. And I just thought this was so sweet. For any of you who are of my age, a woman of a certain age, as they say, for any of you who are of my age, maybe you remember it. I did as soon as it started playing. And it's one of the interesting things, right? When we hear music, it can take us right back to another time. And this is just, everything just seemed, maybe it's just me. I don't know if you guys feel this way when you're listening to these sorts of things, but everything just seemed simpler. And I'm sure that it really wasn't, because maybe that's how people always feel, right? When you're looking back, as if things were simpler, not so complicated, just like simpler times. But there's a sweetness and a tenderness to that. So anyway, that's why I'm playing you that song. It doesn't necessarily have a message that I wanted to impart, except it just maybe the sweet joy of sometimes having that nostalgia, you know. And whenever I go back to my mom's house, I do have, not as much now as I used to have, because over the last few years, I've been clearing things out. But I was a child who saved everything. Super, super nostalgic, super sentimental. And I mean everything, like every school paper. I saved every, one of the things that, I'll just to give you an example, when I was just getting rid of things, I had found this 5 glass syrup bottles from the Bicentennial, right? So 1976. And I had saved the syrup bottles because of the Bicentennial. I had a thing for the Bicentennial, Lord knows why. But it just cracked up when I saw them. Like, of course I did. Of course I had syrup bottles saved. And my mom and I had a good laugh over that. And that's just one example. Anyhow, the thing that I want to talk to you about this time, this love gram, this week, today, this, now. I really didn't know quite what felt right. And then I stumbled upon something. I have this whole file of, it's just called ideas, you know, things I run across that strike me or resonate. And I realized I very seldom go back and look at these, and I just happened to be looking through, and I found something that I thought was really beautiful. And I thought, well, I'll share that with you because it actually really helped me just now when I read it again. There's actually 2 things in this one Evernote file, and I guess I had paired them in my mind. I'm sure that I heard them at different times. One is a part of a poem, and my friend Rosemary had quoted this to me on our call recently. It goes like this: not to make loss beautiful, but to make loss the place where beauty starts. She and I were talking about various kinds of change and loss in our lives and grief, and I thought that was so beautiful. I remember, I can still, as I'm saying it to you, I can think of her just sort of saying that to me, right? She's a poet, so she remembers lines from poems. I'll read it to you again. Not to make loss beautiful, but to make loss the place where beauty starts. And then the other thing that I had put in there is only a sentence, and I remember this came from Brendan, my mentor and the person I work for. And he just said, this is just a great framework to remember for when you're going through hard stuff. And I wrote it down because it's so simple, but also very profound. It goes like this. I'm not the only one who has gone through whatever. What have others done to cope or navigate through this? What have others done to cope or to navigate through this? And it's such a simple thing, but I realize for myself, and I'm wondering for you too, if sometimes, like me, maybe you forget too, that it's like, if there's something that I'm going through and I don't quite know how to navigate it, to simply like look for books or articles or YouTube videos or talk to my friends, or, you know, that there's so many resources out there that, you know, this is just dropping in my mind. And so I love how that happens. You guys know it always happens when I'm talking to you. That last year when my son moved away to college, and I was really hit hard by that, by the sadness and the really lonely missing his bright energy. And I had posted on Facebook just saying, I'm going through this. Can anybody got any, anybody got any words of advice or guidance? Or, and it was so beautiful, you know, and I love this because he's about to leave again. He was here for the summer, but he's about to leave again next week. And it's so interesting. So interesting, isn't it? How, like, I just happened to stumble upon that framework for hard stuff from Brendan, but it led me to think about that Facebook post, which all I was going to say to you was, it was so amazing at how completely helpful almost every post was, that people have so many great things to share and to say. But what I didn't realize is that I also am going to need that guidance again next week. And I have that, I can go back to that post. And so I feel like life was sort of giving me a little bit of a gift in advance by having that drop in. So I guess that, you know, again, it sounds so simple, but I think oftentimes we forget. And I talked to you about this maybe a month or so ago. I did a Lovegram on asking for help, and how, you know, sometimes it's really difficult to ask for help. It's difficult to, first of all, to remember that we can do that. Second of all, to get over that sense that we're somehow burdening people, because people do really love to help. You know, it's also hard to be vulnerable. And so maybe my talk today, this conversation you and I are having about, I'm not the only one who's gone through whatever, you know, is, it's an echo of that conversation about asking for help, because it does take a certain amount of vulnerability. And, you know, it's interesting because, I've talked to you guys about this too, that I have a weekly conversation with my good friend Trish, and I realized in my conversation with her this week, hi Trish, I realized in my conversation with her that I went through that period of asking for help, but that the sort of armor has gotten laid back on, and I could see that there was like all this emotion, and even when I was talking to her, like I felt that tightness in my throat, like I wanted to cry, and I watched myself push it down. And then, thankfully, because she's who she is, I could say to her, oh my gosh, I just noticed this, that I, you know, I'm feeling really sad about XYZ. And gosh, it felt so good to say that. And yet my first impulse was to push it down. So maybe what this Lovegram this week is about is, it's about all of it, right? It's about watching the process of when we're not allowing ourselves to have our feelings over something, and also that place where we might be having the feelings but be overwhelmed and forget that there are people around us who have been through it. There are books, there are articles, there are videos, that almost anything that we're going through, we could likely find something that would help us. And a lot of times it's nice, you know, simply knowing that we're not alone can be huge. Going back to that empty nest post that I made last year, I just remember that was one of the things that was super helpful, was remembering, or I mean, I guess remembering, but sort of being reminded that people have gone through this for forever, right? And how there's just something that is soothing about not being alone in things that we're grieving or that we find challenging or hard. Or, you know, I'm just thinking of all kinds of different situations that can be hard. You know, being sick. I was talking to someone recently who had been sick and lived alone. And that's really hard. You know, that's a really hard thing to go through and to allow ourselves to feel that and the sadness of it or the hardness of it. You know, and I know someone who's going through a divorce. And of course, that's also terribly hard. And you know, again, not alone in that because so many people have gone through it. People who have lost their jobs and disappointments, you know, dreams they've pursued that aren't coming true. I mean, I could go on, there's no need to, but basically just saying that it can feel like we're all alone, but we really never are. Okay, I'm gonna play you a little more of this song from the 1970s, because it's so sweet. There's four singers. Oh, it's so sweet. They're all wearing matching suits. I have to try to remember to put this link in here. Okay, so I'll leave it at that. It's really fun. I don't know why I started putting music in these, but it's really fun to see what pops up and what it brings up, and just, I guess, like the whole process of doing these. I'm so grateful to you, because if you weren't on the other end, I don't think I'd be making these every week for you because you wouldn't be there. And I am so grateful because I always get a chance, something new comes up for me. Something that I didn't know or didn't see before. So as I close out this Lovegram today, let me read again just those two short things that we were looking at. One was the little part of a poem that my friend Rosemary recited, which is, not to make loss beautiful, but to make loss the place where beauty starts. There's a lot to see in that, you know, really like how we can start to dig up beauty in places of loss. And I know we've talked about that a lot over the last couple of years. And the other one is the reminder from Brendan Burchard. You know, I'm not the only one who's gone through whatever. What have others done to cope or navigate through this? And to remind ourselves, you know, to be willing to look for support and guidance and help, and to, you know, like I told you about that call with my friend Trish, and how what a sense of relief it is to not try to push away the feelings that we're feeling and to let them rise up and to be released. You know, like, I think it's so important, and gosh, it's easy to forget. All right. So listen, sending you lots of love. Thank you for being here on this journey with me. Thank you for all of us walking each other home week after week after week and navigating, you know, the ups, the downs, the everything in between, the mess, the confusion, the joy, the excitement, the looking forward to things, the being disappointed, the expectations, all of it, the all of it. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.